God's abilities to break down the, let's say, carnal mind and its war games is much greater than you and I could conceive. Okay? So, there's been some of that going on, and it's gotten greater, and we're very, very blessed because of His grace and His mercy. And I believe that as He continues to rebuild, and He pointed out, it's not always rebuilding the old. It's recreating what He needs out of every single one of us. And recreation means you're not using the old to just kind of patch things up. How many know what patching does? It's make do. It's not good enough for the Lord. Don't ask Him to recreate. If you really mean it, you will tell Him, Father, I'm believing for recreation. And I'm believing for what is of the old to be burnt up. That's what I believe that those tongues of fire is all about. And I had a person this week who had a very, very strong impression. And the impression was shattered. And sometimes God waits a long time before He shatters an impression, just to show you He's got. So don't be looking at the numbers on the calendar either, as best you can. Okay? Keep your nose off the calendar. It's flesh. The Spirit of God has greater power than you and I could ever have. I also want you to have a little bit of a announcement that I don't want to lose. International Accelerated Missions for a new vision for 2012. It's called the Trumpet Call, starting on April 26th through 28th, so we will be able to connect in Bern, New York, and they're having John and Jolene Hamill from Mike Bickle's Church, which is the International House of Prayer. They are musicians that will be there. And the other guest is Paul Keith Davis. So I will leave this out so that you'll have an awareness. And there's a schedule, and we'll be talking about it a little bit more. Also, don't forget Passover next week, starting on this coming Friday. And come expecting. And the word that He gave is in 1 John chapter 4. So I want you to take your Bible, if you brought it, and go to 1 John chapter 4. And Father, without You, we're going to make a mess. But with You and with Your anointing, recreation will take place in every heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. And if there's pieces missing, You have an ability to create from nothing. Amen. And amen. I'm going to be using the Amplified to a degree because the Amplified kind of goes a little deeper. And as I was going over this scripture this morning, He gave it to me last night. And He pressed in verse 13. So we're going to start with verse 13. By this we come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in Him, and He in us, because He has given, imparted to us His Holy Spirit. Again, by this we come to know. So in other words, knowledge has now become reality. Perceive, recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in Him, and He in us. And I want to stress that. Most Christians are thinking that the Godhead has its residency in the heavens, and that's where you need to reach to find Him. Can anybody say amen that they were there at one point?
Amen.
Okay.
I believe John is really pushing the believers of his day, and he's pushing us. Get your mindset to a different space. The one that died on the cross resurrected. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but where is his spirit? In me and in you. So where do you reach? Some people reach up. Some people are looking down instead of looking in. Try it on for size. Just close your eyes. Say, Father, give me a vision. Something tangible to make it real. That you are present within me. Like your word says in 1 John 4:13. I am coming to know. I am perceiving and recognizing and understanding that he abides and lives in me. More than ever. He is present. Inside of me. By his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's really inside.
He's really inside.
I don't have to reach.
I don't have to stretch.
I don't have to scream and yell.
He's inside.
Of me.
By his Spirit.
So this body.
So this body
is guaranteed
to rise someday.
Because it's the same Holy Ghost that was in Christ Jesus that's inside of me.
What a revelation.
How many are getting a little bit of tingling going on? Thank you. You know, when that becomes your reality, the whole reason for coming to church ain't about you and me getting blessed. It's really about you and me blessing someone else. Now, when I started going to church, you know what? I became a robot because somebody said, do. Please tell me I had a few friends. How many friends have I got out there? Thank you. But now I come to give. It's not all about me, myself, and I. Those three wonderful, incredible idols that I used to worship. And I know I'm not asking you to raise your hands because I don't want you to feel any kind of guilt. Because if you weren't there at one point, I'd say, could be you could be lying to yourself. And I'll tell you, you might worship there even now once in a while. Don't say amen, please. Let's not go there. But if you are resident within the body of Christ and he is resident within you, then the qualities and the victories you've had can be imparted to others. Isn't that good news? How many of you had a victory this week? Thank you. Did you give it away this day?
Yes, I did.
All right.
I gave a pocketbook away.
And you gave a pocketbook away.
I did. The girl said she liked, her niece likes ladybugs, and so she left, and I took everything out, and I put it inside, and I left before she could see it.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. So you see, that's love in action. You see, what you have is in him. And what he has in you is going to develop you to become a giver and a lover. That's intense. Instead of being focused on me, myself, and I, and what can I get in this life before I die, your whole concept of thinking is going to be transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creation. The old has passed away. You are a new creation. Well, when a new creation is made, it doesn't match the old. Amen?
Amen.
was at Disney World a couple weeks ago. My grandson and his wife, I purposed in my heart not to say, I want to try this, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. I gave up the control. And I said to them, you choose, and we will follow. But every night, I prayed, God, you know what I need to taste, and you know what I need to experience, so do your stuff by your angelic help. They don't need me. So they had full freedom, and we let them lead every step of the way in every part of that park that was designed. When we went to the Holy Land Experience, we did the exact same thing. My wife and I had agreed, we're not there for us, we're there for them. So, one particular day, we went to Epcot Center. Now, we had been there a little bit, and my grandson says, we need to go for a fast lane pass. Now, I had no idea what that meant, but we did learn. It's a time slot that you have to go, and they give you a fast lane pass so that you can go in and not have to wait 3 hours in line, which was what we would have had to do had we gone on a regular basis. But we went early when we went in. We got the fast lane pass. He came back. He says, 3 o'clock, we can go to get this ride called Soaring. How many have ever tasted Soaring? One, two. Okay. Yeah. So now we are in line for about, I don't know, 12 minutes max. And we are now entering the front row of the Soaring space. You're sitting down on a couch type of thing, which has harnesses that come over you and a seatbelt and the whole nine yards. And there's a huge screen in front of you that's made somewhat like a inside-out moon. It's reversed. And they lift you up. Unbeknownst to us, the front row is the best because you can't see anybody else. And they scooped us up right up into the top. And this semicircle is in front of you. And it's approximately, I would say, 2.5 stories high. So that'll give you a concept. And I've got Irene on my left, and we've got Gabby in the middle on her left, and of course, my grandson and his wife. And this, they told us that you're going to see the Golden Gate Bridge. They don't tell you that you're going to hook your toes into it barely. And we went soaring like if you were on a glider. And it is absolutely outstanding. You're over the glaciers, you're into the icebergs, then you're over a mountain. I mean, it is so real that all your emotions, including the shifting of the weights and the way they shift the seat, I mean, you know, they've got you hook, line, and sinker. And I'm having a vision in the midst of all this. And I could feel Irene's hand tightening and loosening and tightening and loosening because she said, at one point she says, I thought my foot was hooked on the cloud. And and we both laughed for a second, and then the next scene changes so quickly that you don't have the time to recover. You've got the next experience. And I've got two things flashing over me. My experience of re-entering the realm when I was over the river. And it was, I mean, literally, we're gliding over a river. And you can see a kayak, which is like way out. And you can see the guy paddling. And the next thing you know, you're right in the kayak with him, barely. And it just disappears because it flashes to something different. Or like over a wheat field, the harvester's working. You thought you'd get your toes caught in the harvester. It is absolutely outstanding. And the minute we got out, Gabby says, I'm ready to go again. 5 years old, ready to roll. It was her favorite experience. But the visions that came in me were what God did with me when he literally took my spirit out of my body and took me for a ride in the realm. Now, let me ask you a question. Do I have the same Holy Ghost in me that you have in you? How many are ready for a soaring experience with his spirit from within you?
Yes.
Put your hand up. Are you really meaning it?
Yes.
You see, I would love to say to each of you, God will do it for you. But you need to say, I want it. We had to go to the fast lane to get a ticket. That's the natural. By the Spirit, God says you don't experience because you don't ask. Because maybe you think you don't qualify. That's BS, by the way, and I'm not giving you the description. Don't buy the lie. Oh, that miracle is just for him. Oh, that miracle is just for her. Oh, she's so holy. What about you? Amen. What about me? Come on, try it out. What about me?
What about me?
Am I holy?
Am I holy?
By faith?
By faith.
Or am I holy by works?
Am I holy by works?
Which is it?
Faith.
Thank you. So you qualify. You don't need to pay a ticket and wait on a fast lane. All you've got to do is say, Papa, I want what he's got, and I'm jealous for what he's got. Come on, try it on.
I want what you've got, and I'm jealous.
She's going to get it. What about your neighbor? Are you ready? Try it on. Come on, speak it out.
And I'm jealous.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what that says? That says to Papa, he and she is ready. You see, because if you never get hungry for the things of the Spirit, you're going to lay there like an old duck saying, oh my God, everybody else gets rained on and I never get wet. Well, get in. Am I the only one on this boat?
No.
Thank you. Get in the boat. Go for a ride. Go soaring with Jesus. And you know what? You'll never regret it. You'll never even forget it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirit to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. Now, God is warning. There are demonic activities in the realm of the spirit. There are occult activities in the realm of the spirit. There's the pure and there's the impure. Whose spirit do you carry?
The pure.
Amen. Got it. By this you will know. Or by this you may know, perceive and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ the Messiah actually has become man and has come in the flesh, and that should really be saying, that has come in my flesh by his Spirit. There's a misprint there. It is Jesus by his Spirit that's inside of you. Can you verify it?
Yes.
Can you prove it?
Yes.
1 John 4:13 says, his spirit is alive inside of me. But those who wrote this book missed the mark. Because they are declaring the spirit is within over and over in this scripture. But in that particular verse, they failed. I'm going to prove it to you. Verse 3, every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in my flesh, but would annul and destroy, sever and disunite him, is not of God, does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard that is coming and is now, and now is, sorry, and now it is already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist was present when John was in the earth 2,000 years ago. You mean to tell me he's moved on or moved out?
No.
Have you ever seen the spirit of Antichrist use one of your friends?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Which spirit's in you? The Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have seen the old Antichrist spirit coming out of you once in a while? Thank you. Now, as you trust the Lord to bring the fire more and more, That old thing will get burned up, but you have to do the asking. You have to humble yourself, and it will be done. Remember I told you I will prove to you? Go to verse 12. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides, lives, and remains in us. And his love, that love which is essential, his is brought to completion to its full maturity, runs its full course, and is perfected in me or in us. How many times do you have to have it written? It's written several more times as you study this chapter. And I don't want to push too much, but I'm trying to get you aware. When you are facing somebody that is not of God, and you say to them, will you declare that Jesus Christ is alive in my flesh? If they can't say it, you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with Antichrist. And whether they're a believer or not, you're still dealing with Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is against the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That should help you to discern what is of God and those who are working for God and those who are working in God. Because there are many that are working for God under an anointing of trying to get holy.
Yes.
Did you ever live there?
Yes.
I did too. It's by faith that you are made holy. It's by faith that you're going to recognize he's living inside of you. It's by faith as you declare, believing you have received, Mark 11:24, believing you have received, it will be done unto me. So the belief system has to be, if it's not, you're going to fail. So trust him to recreate you and to do that which he promised. Verse 4, little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of Antichrist. Because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who is in the world. Now, how clear do you want it? Who has overcome the spirit of Antichrist?
We have.
Aha! Yes! With your mouth.
I declare it.
Yes! Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth salvation, how about victory over death, over unbelief? Declare it with your mouth. Don't let Antichrist use your big mouth. You'll be in trouble like I used to be. And I still visit once in a while because it does get a hold of me. But I don't want that to be a confession. I'm just telling you, failures do come. But you know what? Kick yourself in the butt, ask God to forgive you, and get on with it.
Amen.
All right? Don't dwell there as best you can. Okay? And if maybe you need a kick, you ask somebody, kick me a little bit here. Not too hard. In love. I want you to go to verse 6. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively. You like that word? Progressively. To receive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience. And to get even cleaner or clearer knowledge of him. Listen to us. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Discernment again. And there's so much more in this chapter. But we need to recognize now. He is alive in us. He's doing a work. And he is progressively making me more like him.
Amen.
Now close your eyes and put your Bibles down. Say, Father, I recognize this day that He is fully alive in me. He's doing a work, and I'm asking Him to continue. Not to stop early. I want to get to the finish line for God's glory. Amen and amen. I want you up here because it's time. Hallelujah. You say, why me? I say, why not you? Come on. In so everybody has a chance. We want you to be a part of this. Here we go. I'm going to ask you to do something that maybe you've never done before. I need a couple of Kleenex behind you, sweetheart, right there. Thank you. Say, Lord Jesus, we believe that this is the blood.
That was shed on the cross.
And it is designed to purify, to bring to victory. Not only these palms, but me. To bring me to a new place of resurrection. Of all the old things in my life. And even my mouth. Keep cleaning it out.
For your glory.
In Jesus' name.
I give you praise.
Release your spirit. Father, we declare now boldly that these palms, wherever they are, wherever they're touching, whomever they are touching, they will bring victory, they will bring resurrection, they will bring healing. They will bring a testimony. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now reach forward. Say, Father,
Father,
we believe.
As we lay hands.
So do it. That's it. Move in. That's it. If you can't move all the way in, just lay your hands on the back of the person in front of you. Say, Father, we declare.
Father, we declare.
Mark chapter 16.
When we lay hands.
You will do the healing.
Wherever these go.
Healing will manifest.
Resurrection will manifest.
And deliverance will manifest. By the Spirit of the Holy Father. Who is resident in me.
By the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Who is alive in me.
This shall be.
For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Just obey as the Lord leads you and take some home.